Because when I know a woman is pregnant, or might become pregnant, what I'll do in the office is, first of all, we're going to maybe avoid x-rays if possible. If it's not really that big of a deal to take them that day, we'll avoid them. But in the event that we feel we need an x-ray, toothache, broken tooth, some kind of trauma, what I do in my office is I will wrap the woman in 3 lead aprons. I will lay one on the chair first behind her, kind of half on the chair, half behind it, and ask her to sit down. So now she's sitting on the lead apron as well as leaning up against it. And then I put a lead apron on the front of her, around her neck with thyroid collar. And once we've done that, then I take another lead apron that I wrap sideways around her torso. And I use the lead apron that has a front and a back to it, the kind that we would normally use for a panoramic x-ray. So, and the last thing that I'll do is I will take an x-ray film and we will slip a paperclip over top of it and set it underneath all of these lead aprons. And then after we've taken our x-ray, or x-rays, the ones that we felt were indicated, we'll not only develop the x-ray we took of her teeth, but we'll also develop the x-ray that I have placed under the lead apron. Now that's the purpose of the paperclip, by the way, because if x-rays are reaching that film, there'll be an image of a paperclip on the x-ray. And we've never seen an image appear on an x-ray that was under those 3 layers of lead apron. And that's my way of helping this mom to be comfortable about having the x-ray in the first place. Okay? So, anyway, those are things to keep in mind if you are think you might be pregnant. All right, now we're going to move forward, because what we're going to try to do is kind of cover different stages of being a mom. And, of course, we just covered the one that is before you become one. Before you even get pregnant. Now, what do you do once you become pregnant? Well, now you know to do all those things for sure, and you can inform your medical professionals about this. And one of the things, the very first thing, is just what we talked about, x-rays. You want to avoid them. Now, I'm not just talking about dental again. This is medical as well. And I don't know if any of you, if you think about it for a minute, when you've had a medical x-ray, my understanding is you're very rarely offered a lead apron to cover the portions of your body that are not being x-rayed. And anywhere from a mammogram to a knee, you know, to an ankle injury, chest x-ray, I personally have never been offered a lead apron to cover the parts of my body that weren't being x-rayed that day. Yet in dentistry, we're very, very careful about that, and everyone is given a lead apron all of the time. Now, some of you know that I used to teach at the dental school, College of Dentistry, Ohio State, and I taught there for 20 years in the radiology department. And what we did there was, there was a time before I came when no one, I think, really understood that lead aprons would be a good idea, and so they weren't in use. This would have been back in the 60s and 70s, early 70s. And then research came out, some information was brought forward, and the dental school made a decision that everybody was going to receive a lead apron prior to being radiographed. Well, I remember specifically one day I was there as an instructor, and this patient, who'd been coming to the dental school for a long time, we went to put the lead apron on him, and he said, "What's that?" We said, "It's a lead apron. It's to protect you." And he said, "Well, they never used to use this." And we said, "We know, but we've just decided that it's a good thing to do. It'll be a safety measure. It'll help you. And it's for your own protection." And he said, "Well, if that machine is so strong that I need this, I don't want the x-rays." And so here's a case where dentistry, in trying to do the right thing, it kind of backfired. And I think sometimes even to this day, there's this backfire mode where people think because the medical offices, medical x-rays are not using lead aprons, maybe their machines aren't as damaging as a dental x-ray. And so they maybe won't question a medical x-ray, and yet will come to the dental office and say, "I don't want them. We have to take x-rays today." And And so, you know, that to me, that's disconcerting, because we're actually the ones trying to do right by people, trying to be safe and make sure that we're not overexposing people, and then we're getting those kinds of comments. Now, we need to go to a break, but when we come back, we're going to continue this list of things that you do once you know that you've become pregnant. So, oh, and don't forget to send us an email or a phone call, 821-1230, with your guesses to our question. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko here on Talk 1230 WYTS.
You're always in my heart from early in the morning.
Talk 1230 WYTS. Hi, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko, and you're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. All right, today's Mother's Day, and so I'd like to say a happy Mother's Day to all those moms out there, including my own. And so today we're talking about considerations, dental considerations, for moms, and in this case, moms-to-be, is where we are at in our list of topics today. So, right before the break, we were talking about how someone who knows they're pregnant needs to be concerned about having dental and medical x-rays, and make sure that you get a lead apron, make sure that you're properly protected. You know what, before we go on, let me just give some of the guesses that have come in for our question of the day. And the question of the day is, according to Men's Health Magazine, in what city did the most people use floss in the past 6 months? Toby sent in an emailed guess of Seattle, Washington. Thank you, Toby. Not correct, but thank you. Kara from Obetz sent in a guess of Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, that is not correct. However, Kara, that is on the list. They were in the top 10. And so, in fact, they were number 7. And hopefully if my producer reminds me, I'll go over the top 10 when we actually give the answer here. So that was a good guess. Anyway, and then Clevon from Bexley sent in a guess, and he is guessing Kansas City, Missouri. And Kansas City is not in the top 10, not the correct answer, but thank you very much for sending in those guesses. Okay, so now let's get back to what we're talking about. All right, so we talked about being careful about x-rays. The next thing a pregnant woman would want to know about would be to that the first and the third trimesters are the most sensitive to the fetus, to the unborn child. Because during those times, that's when a lot of cell division takes place. Okay? So that's when structures are formed. And so you just have to be very, very careful during that first and third. Now, earlier we were talking about the women who don't even know they're pregnant, and that's why, and since the first trimester is one of the most sensitive, that's why I was talking earlier about how important it is to be healthy, follow healthy habits, avoid, you know, x-rays if you can, if you think you're trying to get pregnant, because in the time that you become pregnant and before you find out about it, you could do something that could ultimately affect the future health of your unborn child. All right, now, when it comes to dental care, the middle trimester, then, is the time that we would reserve for dental care. So if at all possible, any dental care would be done in the middle trimester. Now, if you have a toothache, it doesn't matter what trimester it is, because letting the body, letting you stay in pain would produce so much adrenaline that would be more harmful to you and your unborn child than than having some local anesthetic to have this taken care of. So emergency care is done anytime, and we just do it cautiously. Much like if you were in a car accident and happened to be pregnant, you'd go into the emergency room, they would do whatever it took to save your life, to make you healthy, and of course people would just then hope for the best for the child, but obviously if you perish, so does the child, or oftentimes that's the case. So that doesn't mean you have to put all dentistry off until after you've had the baby. It just means that if it's selective, you know, do it in the middle trimester. Now, one of the reasons, by the way, or actually the primary reason, is what I do is I don't want to do anything to a pregnant woman that is going to cause me to have to give them a prescription for pills, because everybody knows you're not supposed to take medicines while you're pregnant. I think most physicians, most OBGYNs, limit women to extra strength Tylenol, And so if I'm going to do an extraction that I don't think extra strength Tylenol is going to be enough for, I don't want to do the extraction. I'd rather wait until you have the child and you're back on your feet, you come in and we'll do that. It could be that, it could be a root canal, anything that's going to cause the need for post-op medications we put off until after the pregnancy. And anything routine, like a little filling here, or a little filling there, would be done in the middle trimester if we don't think we want to wait. All right, now, just like we mentioned about being pregnant or thinking you might be pregnant, avoid the tetracycline. Now, there are a couple things that happen when you're pregnant dentally that you should know about. And one of my staff members right now is dealing with this. And what it is there are a couple conditions. One's called pregnancy gingivitis. And this is it's bleeding gums, redness in the gums. It's something that just comes on for no apparent reason. And what it requires is basically really good brushing and flossing. It requires more frequent dental cleanings during the pregnancy to take care of this. And so basically during pregnancy, your body's hormone levels rise considerably. And so gingivitis, which is especially common during the second 8 months of pregnancy, it causes this red, puffy, or tender gums that tend to bleed when you brush. The sensitivity is an exaggerated response to plaque and is caused by an increased level of progesterone in your system. I recommend more frequent cleanings during your second trimester or the early third to help avoid that problem. So that's one thing. And when we come back after the break, there's another thing that happens during pregnancy. We'll get into that. And then we'll move on to after you have had the child and you're now a new mom. So you're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko here on Talk 1230 WYTS. We'll be back right after the break. Talk 1230 WYTS. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, also known as Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry, but We're Too Numb to Ask. Hi, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. And today's topic is dental considerations for moms. So before the break, we had talked about pregnancy gingivitis. And before I move on, I wanted to make a note. According to the ADA, they are saying that dental radiographs are not contraindicated if someone is trying to become pregnant. And I just want to be on record as saying I disagree with that, because you don't know when you're going to become pregnant. So if you read something that says not to worry about that, that's just my personal preference. The ADA apparently feels like it's no big deal, but I would disagree with that. But there is one thing that the ADA says, and I think that's important to throw out there, and that is that dental radiographs are not contraindicated when a woman is breastfeeding. And I wholeheartedly agree with that. I remember I said that tissues that are most susceptible to radiation are tissues that are rapidly reproducing, and milk formation is not cells reproducing, so you don't have to worry about that. Okay, so now the next condition that happens when a woman gets pregnant, or can happen, is called a pregnancy tumor. So what's a pregnancy tumor? Occasionally, overgrowths of gum tissue called pregnancy tumors appear on the gums during the second trimester. They're localized growths or swelling, and they're usually found between the teeth, and they're believed to be related to excess plaque. They bleed easily, and they're characterized by red, raw-looking, mulberry-like surfaces. They're often surgically removed after the baby is born, and if you have one of these, you should give me a call your dentist, whatever. In fact, I would imagine you'd do that anyway, because if you look in there and see this growth looks about the size of a blueberry growing between your two teeth, that would be a source of concern. So what we said earlier is how it's especially important then to maintain good oral health during your pregnancy. And that the studies also indicate that pregnant women who have severe periodontal or gum disease may be at risk, increased risk, for preterm delivery, which in turn increases the risk of having a low birth weight baby. So if you notice any change in your mouth during pregnancy, give us a call or call your dentist. All right. Now, you know, there are several questions that pop up. Things like, does a woman lose calcium from her teeth during pregnancy? And, you know, that's a very good question. That's actually a myth, though. It's a myth that calcium is lost from the mother's teeth during pregnancy. You know, yes, your baby needs calcium, but they're going to get it from what is provided by your diet, not your teeth. If your if your dietary calcium is inadequate, and your body, you know, needs to provide this mineral, it will to the baby. It will take it from the bones, from your bones. So, you know, you've heard about that. There's like an old wives' tale that says, with every child you have, you lose a tooth or something. That's exactly what it is—an old wives' tale. In fact, severe vitamin D deficiency, which is where you find calcium, is a condition known as rickets. So you would have rickets long before your body ever started to steal calcium from your teeth. Okay. But you make sure you should make sure you have an adequate intake of dairy products, which is the primary source of calcium, or the supplements that your obstetrician may recommend to ensure that you get all the calcium that you're going to need during your pregnancy. All right. So now, you know, and the ways that you can help keep your mouth healthy to prevent tooth decay and periodontal disease would be to brush your teeth thoroughly twice a day with fluoride toothpaste to remove plaque. Remember we said both pregnancy gingivitis and the pregnancy tumors were caused by an overreaction to plaque that is on the teeth. And so that's the biggest thing that you can do. And there's also things like, you know, flossing, interdental cleaners. Make sure that your dentist or hygienist shows you how to brush and floss correctly. Because I can tell you that a lot of adults that we see think they know how to floss, but they really don't. Because flossing, a lot of people think when you put the floss in between your teeth and you hear that snapping sound, you snap down in, you snap down out, and you flossed. That's not the case. The sound has nothing to do with whether you've flossed or not. The sound is what happens when you put the floss in there. But it's what you do once it's in there that is important. So once the floss is down in, you have to kind of wrap it around one of the two teeth that you're now between and almost into a C shape and wipe upward if it's a lower tooth, downward if it's an upper tooth. Essentially, it's away from the gum line up to the chewing surface. And you clean it that way. And so you have to do one tooth and get that nice and clean. Then you wrap it around the other tooth and get that nice and clean. And then when you're done, you don't even have to snap the floss out. You can simply slide it out the side. And in some people where that's a very tricky thing, it's hard to get the floss in to begin with, it's probably just easier just to pull it out the side. So, I mean, these are common sense things, but still important to do. And because you want to keep yourself healthy so that you can have a healthy baby. Okay, so now, what else? Other questions that occur. We talked about your, you know, what if you're hungry between meals? Because we just talked about keeping your teeth clean. And so, you know, during pregnancy, of course, women get all kinds of cravings. They have this desire to eat between meals. And although this is normal, you know, frequent snacking on carbohydrate-containing foods can be an invitation to tooth decay. And this process begins with plaque. It's an invisible, keep in mind invisible, sticky layer of harmful bacteria that constantly form on your teeth. And then bacteria that are in your mouth anyway convert sugar and starch that remain in the mouth to acid that becomes that attacks your tooth enamel. The longer sugars are retained in your mouth, the longer the acids attack. After repeated attacks, tooth decay can result. So this could be where that, you know, you lose a tooth with having a child, maybe old wives' tale began, is because maybe women weren't taking the best care of their teeth during pregnancy. And so, sure enough, at the end of a pregnancy, they had a cavity or maybe had to lose a tooth. So you should eat nutritious, well-balanced meals made up of foods from the five major food groups: bread, cereals, other grains, fruits, vegetables, meat, fish, poultry, and protein alternates, and milk, yogurt, and cheese. Resist the urge to snack constantly. When you do snack, choose foods that are nutritious for you and your baby, such as raw fruits and vegetables and dairy products. And then, of course, if you snack, I recommend that you take the time to go ahead and brush and floss, because you can't have these bacteria attacking your teeth if they don't have food to survive themselves. And, of course, their food source is the food left behind. Okay? So we do have to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to go over a couple more emailed guesses for our question of the day, which is, in what city did the most households floss in the last 6 months, the past 6 months, which is a tie-in to what we're just now talking about. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko here on Talk 1230 WYTS.
When you're smiling, when you're smiling.
Talk 1230 WYTS. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Hello, I'm general dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko, and today our topic is dental considerations for moms and moms-to-be. Because it's Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day to all of the moms out there. And what I want to do is I was thinking that last week's topic, or rather question of the day, we gave the answer, but we didn't give the top 10, and I thought you might be interested to hear what the top 10 were. So the question of the day last week, Dr. Kvitko's question of the day, was, in what city did the most people visit the dentist within the past year? And you might remember that the answer was St. Paul, Minnesota. But let me go over the other nine. And number two was Hartford, Connecticut. Number three was Minneapolis, Minnesota. Number four, Burlington, Vermont. Number five, Fargo, North Carolina, or North Dakota. Number six, Wilmington, Delaware. Number seven, Manchester, New Hampshire. Eight, Lincoln, Nebraska. Nine, Providence, Rhode Island, and 10, Raleigh, North Carolina. So, you know, I'm looking at this going, St. Paul and Minneapolis are right there, sister cities, and so that area does a really good job of going and visiting the dentist. I happened to have the occasion to visit Burlington, Vermont this past spring, and this past fall, and it was a very nice part of the country as well. So those are the top 10, and it looks like Minnesota may have that wrapped up if you figure they have two cities in the top 10 as far as a state, maybe, to have the most people visiting the dentist within the past year. Now, today's question, you may remember, is which city has the most households that use floss or have used floss in the past 6 months? And while we were away, we had a couple or two or three people call in with guesses. Keith from Gahanna called in a guess of Springfield, Massachusetts. That's not correct, but thank you for your guess, Keith. Melinda from Dublin emailed a guess of Dallas, Texas. And then one more email from Joyce in Marion guessed Miami, Florida. And none of those are correct, but we will be getting to the answer here soon. And I think we will, when we do give the answer, we'll read all 10, the top 10. Okay, so where we left off was talking about this pregnancy tumor and how you can avoid that kind of a thing, or rather not avoid it, I guess. Well, you can minimize it by brushing and flossing very well, by watching what you eat. The pregnancy tumors, by the way, they don't go away just because you've had the child. Typically, they do need to be removed after having given birth to your child. Okay, so we have we've covered before you get pregnant, we've covered while you're pregnant, and so now let's move on to new moms right after the baby is born. You know, you may know, some of you know, I have four children, and so I've been through this. They're not little anymore like Beth Del Ponte's children, but nonetheless, I remember, and I'm sure my wife does too. So, you know, what happens after you've had this baby is you're tired, you're sore. Your world's turned upside down by this new little bundle of joy. You don't even remember what you used to do with your time before having a child. Everything is different. And what happens then is it's very easy to put your needs last. And again, one more reminder, make sure no one prescribes tetracycline or tetracycline-based products for your child, okay? Can't say that enough. And so, you know, if you had a pregnancy tumor, you would come in and either to my office or some other office and have that removed. But when you're so busy, and remember I said, you know, make sure you get plenty of sleep and eat right and all that, you're not going to be doing that after this baby's born. Your life's turned upside down. So try to make sure that you spend enough time caring for your own teeth. Go to your dentist, come to me, whatever. You know, at my office, we encourage new moms. There's this period after which you've had the baby, but before people think you're up and about and willing and able to take guests, you know, have visitors. And so there's almost a period of a week or two, maybe three, where you're kind of bored. And what I'm finding is that's a good time for a new mom to come in and have a dental appointment. Bring the infant with you. We happen to have a nursery at our office, so you can lay the child down in a bed, in a crib, or you can leave them in the infant carrier that you use in your car. And I also have a lot of moms that tell me their dental appointment is how they get some peace and quiet. It's like their time. I know that sounds weird that you have to come to a dental appointment to get some peace and quiet, but I know a lot of moms out there know exactly what I'm talking about. So try then to at least realize in advance that you may very well be putting off your own needs. And before you know it, in fact, this happened, I had a mom in just last week who had some cavities, and she was lamenting that she hadn't done a better job of taking care of herself. Because, of course, she wasn't, you know, very happy with the notion that now she's coming back to get a couple fillings done. So, I mean, that's pretty much the advice that I have for the new moms. Just realize that you're giving all of your time to your children or your child, and try not to do that, because you will get into trouble. You'll get the gum disease. You'll get the decay. Take vitamins. Try to get some sleep. I know that's tough. When we come back, we will go into what happens then as your children age and as you then age as a mom, and try to cover some of the topics that then become important so that we can carry this mom theme from, you know, being pregnant all the way through basically getting to be a grandparent. All right? So you're listening to Dentally Speaking here on Talk 1230 WYTS. I'm Dr. Kavitko, and we'll be right back.
Keep smiling at trouble.
Talk 1230 WYTS. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko. Hi, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kavitko, and today we're talking about mom dental health for moms and new moms because it's Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day to all you moms out there. During the break, we had a couple phone calls where people were giving us their guesses for our question of the day. And the question of the day today is, in what city did the most households use floss in the past 6 months? Tim from Upper Arlington called in a guess of Hilton Head, South Carolina. I think Tim just might have been golfing recently. What do you think? Anyway, John from Powell guessed Minneapolis, Minnesota. And you might remember that Minneapolis was the number three on the list of people that had visited the dentist, the city where the most people visited the dentist in the past year. So that was a good guess also. It's just not the right answer for our question. And I'm going to give the answer now to Dr. Kavitko's question of the day. And the answer is Fremont, California. So in Fremont, California is the city where the most households used floss in the past 6 months. And again, this is according to a survey done by Men's Health Magazine. Let me go over the whole top 10, the entire top 10. So Fremont, California was first. San Jose, California next. Then Anchorage, Alaska. That surprises me. Arlington, Texas is number 4. Anaheim, California, number 5. Aurora, Colorado, number 6. Charlotte, North Carolina, number 7. And Colorado Springs, Colorado, number 8. Raleigh, North Carolina, number 9. And Las Vegas, Nevada was number 10. Now, you might remember when I gave the top 10 of the cities where people most visited, or most people visited the dentist a bit ago. Raleigh, North Carolina was number 10 on that, and they're number 9 on this, so people down in Raleigh, good job. You've been taking good care of your teeth. Thank you for your emails and your phone calls. Remember always, if you have a question, you can call in at 821-1230. Or you can send us an email, and that would be to dentallyspeaking on talk1230@yahoo.com. And before we end the show for the day, because we're getting close here to the end, I want to mention that this show is available on demand by podcast, by going to www.talk1230wyts.com. And what you do is you click on the On Air button. There's a drop-down menu. Choose Dr. Kavitko. And then when that page comes up, click on go to podcast page and then just click the listen button for any of the shows that you want to hear. All right, just a couple quick things because we're running out of time. As our kids age, which of course that means the mom ages, sorry about that, but it happens. What happens then is your teeth start to darken with age, you'll get little craze lines in them. And you know, moms do tend to take care of their kids before themselves. And so I want the women out there to remember, you know, take good care of yourself. Remember, get your teeth whitened. Get veneers if you need them. Your children will thank you. Kids want to look up and see a bright smile smiling back at them when they look. And they want their parents to take good care of themselves because they want you to be around for a long, long time. And then the other thing that we have to be concerned about is osteoporosis as we get older, as women get older. That's a concern. There are drugs called Fosamax, Boniva. These are what are called bisphosphonates. And if you need to take them, take them. There are reports out there that they can cause these dental infections that don't heal. Just so that you know, that only involves people that are taking high doses because they're treating cancer or some other affliction of the bone. You cannot get that from just taking your monthly pill of Boniva or your every other week pill of Fosamax, all right? So, I want to thank everyone for tuning in. I want to again wish a happy Mother's Day to my mom, Ruth, to my mother-in-law, Donna, and to my wife, Carrie. And we will be back next week. Please tune in. You're listening to Dentally Speaking on Talk 1230, WYTS, with Dr. Kvitko.